can't remember if they were going to let me vote it or not.
You're a descendant of a shareholder.
Yeah.
So you, under the AFN proposals, would receive stock.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I sure wouldn't mind stock. Things that some of the people that work for corporations have been talking about is, they've had a lot of difficulties getting title to the land, and they've spent a lot of money on legal fees, and they're really, the stock isn't worth that much. If it was on the open market, it wouldn't be worth that much, just because they've been using a lot of their resources for the bureaucratic work. And I still think if I had stock, my primary benefit would be the fact that I can go out into this native land and hunt caribou, or I use it primarily for recreation. That's an important benefit for me. And I suppose that it's a good idea. I'm kind of glad that there's getting to be an awareness that some of us that aren't a quarter native have a vested interest in the region. We have vested interest in the culture, and that perhaps we should be participants in what's being done about it. I kind of like the idea of having a vote in what the corporation is planning on doing.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
Anybody else like to have a word? Well, yesterday, about this time, I invited everybody to take a break and have coffee and donuts, and there wasn't any coffee, but I think there is today. Would anybody like to speak before the coffee break? We'll take a break for a little while and have coffee, and thanks to all of those who spoke this afternoon. It was quite helpful, and stay here in case any others come along and want to speak, or any of you have something to add. Anybody would like to say a few words, you're certainly welcome. As I told you this morning, here to see what people, Alaskan Natives and other Alaskans, think about the Claims Settlement Act of 1971, about the land, the corporation, shares, subsistence, the new natives, all of these things. So we're... I understand you've been studying some of these issues at the youth conference, so if you'd like to talk about them now, I'd certainly like to hear what you've got to say. My job is to go around the state and hear what people have to say, and then I'm going to write a report, which will be out in September, and I'll be sending it to every village, to every village corporation and village council, and to all the folks who testify. So in it I will make my recommendations about ANCSA 1991, subsistence, sovereignty, all of these questions that we've been hearing about.
Okay.
So if anybody would like to say anything about it, please feel free to come up and sit at this microphone. And why we have a microphone is just so that Jim Sykes, who's here with the earphones, can take everything down on tape, and then it'll be transcribed, and that means there will be a permanent record of what Alaska Natives have said about the land claims and all of these other questions. When I was at the youth conference this morning, I heard quite a good keynote speech, and I wouldn't mind if the keynoter wanted to simply put that speech in the record. It was okay. I don't know how far he's going to get it, but
you will also be here tomorrow?
Yes, and we'll be taking testimony tomorrow evening at the Native Convention. Senior Citizen Center, I believe.
I think most of them need time to get their thoughts together.
Yeah.
Sure, they'll have something tomorrow.
Well, we'll look forward to that. If maybe we could let what's the name of the keynoter?
Malcolm.
Well, maybe we let Malcolm say a few words, and then if that leads any of the others to get up and say something, fine. If it doesn't, we'll still be here tomorrow. Tomorrow night, I mean. Where's Malcolm from?
Melbourne.
Go ahead, please.
Probably be a little easier if there weren't so many people here. My name is Russell Nelson. I'm on the board of directors of Chug Young Limited, also the Gillingham Village Council. The testimony that I'll give today is of my own personal opinion and not of that of the boards that I sit on. I feel that the ANSCA Act was a great achievement for the natives of Alaska. Although that I know that the only reason we got such a good deal from the United States government is because the oil companies needed a right-of-way to take the oil from the North Slope. Everyone that I talk to is concerned with the issue of 1991. The largest concern, I believe, is the concern the people have that they may lose their land when the stock becomes unrestricted. I feel that 1991 was designed to make the ANSCA Act fail so that the powers that be with all the wealth can eventually own our land. Speaking on the newborn issue, my children will someday own my stock. I can't see diluting my stock every time someone else has a kid. I think that my children should be able to inherit my stock regardless of blood quantum. We've been learning how to operate our corporations for 14 years now. I don't see why some people want us to switch to IRAs and UTAs. Every time I ask someone what they're about, they can't tell me. Even when I talk to people like Eddie Goodwin, I couldn't get a good answer. I support ANSCA over any alternate organization. Many people feel that the board of directors are the only ones that are benefiting from ANSCA. I feel that they feel that we're being paid large fees for attending board meetings. At Chugyung, we receive $50 per meeting. Some of our meetings last 6 to 7 hours. I have to take off from my regular job several times per year without pay to attend meetings so that I can be up on the issues that face me as a director. Lifelong friends and family members stop me on the street and call me on the phone telling me of their problems that they have with our corporations and its subsidiary corporations. People that were once my close friends now feel that they have the right to holler and argue with me whenever they feel like it. At Chugyung, the board is not overpaid. They take a lot of abuse for the job that they have to do. I feel that ANSCA is a good act, and it only needs to be fine-tuned. We need to ensure that the corporation's assets and lands stay with the people that are in it now, with them and their heirs from now to eternity. Thank you.
Yeah, could I ask you a question, Mr. Nelson? What about the question whether people should have the right to sell their shares after 1991? Should the sale of shares be restricted, and if so, in what way? Any ideas about that?
Yeah, well, I believe in dissenters' rights. I believe somebody that wants to opt out of the corporation should have that right. I believe that they should have to sell their shares back to the corporation. I just can't see letting people sell their shares or their stock to whoever they feel like it. Either that or we will no longer be a native corporation after a short period of time.
So you favor selling the right to sell the shares, but the only person, the only buyer can be the corporation itself?
Yes.
I was asking Mr. Nielsen a question yesterday about that. Maybe you don't mind if I ask you the same question. In some of the villages, let's say you've got 100 shareholders, small place, just for the sake of argument, and suppose 50 people decide they want to sell their shares and they sell them back to the corporation, then you've got a situation in which maybe 50 people in the village are shareholders, the other 50 aren't, maybe human nature being what it is, the 50 people that still have shares will say, well, look, you can't use the land, the corporation land, the ancestral land for hunting or access to fishing sites because you sold out and it's our land. And the no trespassing signs would be there for people in that same village. Maybe I'm putting it a little too starkly, but it just seemed to me something that might be worth thinking about. Any ideas about that? Is that a...
You know, I really wouldn't be afraid of that. If it were white people that owned the land, You know, I believe that they would possibly put up barbed wire fences and keep people off of it. As long as it's in native control, the native people, through the history, have always shared the land. And I don't see our native corporations now, or even in the future, putting up barbed wire fences and blocking other people off, whether they be native or white. I feel as long as it's in native control, the native people will let everybody use the lands.
Right. Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah. You know, Chugyung's are a really well-off corporation compared to a lot of the smaller village corporations. We have a real good economic growth here in Dillingham. And Chugyung's capitalized on it. And we've built places like the Bristol Inn, the Cannery Barn, or restaurant and lounge, and the Chugyung Lumber, and the cable TV in Dillingham. We have a construction company. We've done several things that you couldn't do in a smaller village.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just don't have the economic growth that we have. And so we're very fortunate.
You have about 1,000 shareholders.
About 1,039 or 32 or something like that. We've been really fortunate in having, you know, with the way the act was set up for us to go ahead and make a profit, and so that we can use the money to protect our lands and to develop them a little bit. And the smaller villages, you know, where you only have 500 or 600 people in, or even 200 or 300 people in, they have a real problem with making this act succeed for them. The only way that they can really make any money is by putting their money into a TCD or something like that. They just, you know, they can't go out and start any kind of business they want. They just don't have the economy to do it. And so for villages like that, I really don't know what the answer to their problems will be, but I know that it could present a very serious problem.
Yeah. If you don't mind, tell me just a little bit about Chugyung. Are you able to pay dividends to your shareholders?
Yes, we've been paying between $200 and $300 a year for the last few years. Can't remember when we first started. This year is the first year we haven't been paid a dividend, and it's not because we didn't make a profit. It's because we didn't make enough of a profit that we felt that we could pay a large dividend. And rather than giving them a real small dividend, it costs so much money to give a dividend, you know, just to give it out in the first place. We felt that it would better serve our shareholders to just keep that money in the corporation and reinvest it, so that in the future we could ensure continuing the dividend program and even possibly give larger dividends per year.
What about employment of shareholders? How has that worked out?
In Chugyung, in our parent corporation and all of our subsidiaries, we have a ruling passed down by the board of directors to all of its managers that shareholder hire will be the first priority.
And can you tell me approximately how many employees there may be and how many are shareholders?
We have several subsidiaries. I know there's at least one of them that's 100% native hired, you know, shareholder hired. One of them is 75%. I think we have our parent corporation, at least half of them are. The lowest percentage we have is in the cannery, restaurant and lounge, and we've advertised for our shareholders to work there. It's really hard. You know, you can ask your shareholders to come to work for you, but they've got to be willing to come in and put in an application and go to work before you can hire them. You know, you just can't go drag them into your place and say, you're a shareholder, you've got to work. You know, they've got to want to work, and we try real hard to get our shareholders to come in and put applications and put them to work. But if they've got other jobs and they don't feel like coming to work for us, there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
That is one of the board's high priorities, is on all of our subsidiaries and the parent corporation. You know, the first thing that our managers learn is shareholder hire, and training is a priority.
Okay. Anything else?
No, I guess that just about covers it.
Well, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, we were going to hear from Melvin.
My name is Melvin Casale, and I'm from the village of Kalinic. 1991 is an important year for the native people of Alaska. This is the year when the stocks are up for sale and you could lose control of your corporation and lose control of your land as well. This same land which our forefathers have been living on for thousands of years. The whites, if they take over and they could, will develop on the land the things that will benefit them. They will not think of the natives because they want the money and also do not think of the land usage the same way as the natives do. Because of this, the land and the subsistence way of life could be ruined. If this happens, our way of life will be no more. This could all be avoided by us getting involved and informed and telling everybody of what's happening in 1991. We also need to learn how to make the necessary changes. If we all get together and work to solve our problems as a group, we can make these changes happen. Some of the other problems facing us are lack of jobs in the villages. We are losing our culture to the white ways. People are becoming more and more dependent on the cash economy and are losing interest in the native culture and the subsistence lifestyle. We have to all pull together and inform everyone about these issues facing us now and in 1991. When the ANCSA Act was passed, a lot of people weren't informed and the same thing could happen if we don't get together now and work in harmony to solve our problems.
Thank you. I understand that you're a high school student.
Yeah.
What grade are you in?
A senior.
You're a senior. And you were keynoter at the youth convention this morning.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much. Thank you.
Thomas, and I'm from Kalinic. I'm a freshman. As a future leader of my local village corporation and Bristol Bay Native Corporation, I feel that all of us who are in school now should continue our education into college, because our people need all the help they can get, and they also need to learn a lot in a short period of time. We not only need to get an education in the white man's way, but we also need to learn of our own culture. If we didn't have our own culture, what would we be? We would be nothing, because a culture makes us be what we are, and we make the culture. As you can see, we are dying off because we are forgetting our culture, and our culture makes us be what we are. We aren't really dying off. We are just picking up another culture and the white man's culture and dropping ours. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We we have a, well, would anybody else like to come up and say a few words here? Yes, sir.
My name is Puri Eaton. I served on the board of directors of CONIAG for 7 years. Worked with the Alaska the Alaska Native Foundation for 3 years under Emil Nadi. Have been involved in the Native movement since my father brought me home in 1971 from Seattle. My father served on the first board of directors, on the original board of directors of the Alaskan Federation of Natives. And my involvement has gone back to just prior to the passage of the Act. I'd like to testify today about some of the good things that I see as a result of the Act and some of the fallacies I see with the Act. Number one, I think that the passage of the Land Claims Settlement Act was a hallmark in American history. I think the breaking of the 200-year precedent with Aboriginal settlements with reservations was a tremendous achievement for the Alaska Natives. It was as much a reflection on us as it was the federal government recognizing the failure of the system that they had perpetuated for so long. The uniqueness of the Act, perhaps, is its own worst problem, and that being the imposition of the corporate structure on a culturally different people. Were I to be involved today in the drafting of the Act, and using the hindsight that I've gained over the years and the emotional scars of the corporate boardroom and the acculturation process, I would do some things different. Number one, there must be cultural lands in Alaska. The Native people must have their own lands, not as corporate assets, but as Native people. I believe any amendment that doesn't achieve that is a stopgap. We are people of the land. We view land ownership totally different than the non-natives who have come here. We look at it different, we treat it different, and it's more than just hunting and gathering in a traditional society. For the non-native who comes into the country, land represents an opportunity. And to take advantage of that opportunity, he must use and change the land. He must subdivide it, he must sell it, he must put in a farm, he must put in a cannery. He must use the opportunity that the land represents. And the land is only, to him, opportunity. America is made up of immigrants. They are all people that left their land. They do not have the heart for land that the Alaska Native has. When we look at land, we don't see opportunity. We see ourselves. We see our ancestors. We see our future homes, our present homes, and our past homes. I can go to other villages and see opportunity, but I can't see it on my own village's land. Until we as people in our villages have that ancestral land set aside, reserved, and we have that comfort level within our hearts, I don't think that there will be any harmony in the Native community, ever. You will see an acculturation process that will leave a shattered people, just as all acculturation without an Aboriginal land base leads to a shattered people. The other thing that if I were redoing the Act would be to differentiate between the land and opportunity. I think the corporate structure serves very well for opportunity. I think that it's a very reasonable approach. It is culturally acceptable within the non-native community. If anything, it's the epitome of the non-native community of opportunity. And I think that that has to be a part of it. But at the same time, there are certain cultural values that must be dealt with. Number one is our older people. one of the greatest dilemmas that I had in 9 years of serving my own people on the corporation board was the inability to reach out, recognize, and get comfort to the very people that had borne the crusade for as long as they did. The sense of cutting off and saying, because you are 14 years old, you are a native, but because you are 12 years old, you're not a native. That's ludicrous. That's absolutely ludicrous. The structure of the corporation does not deal with that. It will run a divisive mechanism within the native people that can only lead to self-destruction. You cannot have a population that constantly is expanding who don't belong culturally by virtue of the fact that you had a settlement in 1971. It will lead ultimately to the smashing of the people as an identity. The corporate structure's rules are such that you have no protection against those values. I was involved, as you've undoubtedly heard testimony, I tried to testify in Larson Bay when you were there, but I got in the day you were leaving, so I didn't have a chance. Koniag went through a really shattering experience. Got involved in a legal process that in hindsight, once the process started, there was no way out. There was no way for the natives to go in the back room and say, look, this is not in the best interest of anyone here on the island. Let's resolve it. The process of litigation and the process of playing the game board and moving the pieces absolutely precluded a reasonable and rational approach on any kind of a cultural level whatsoever. The process that happened in Koniag could happen to any native corporation, anywhere, at any time. It's like a culture in a petri dish. If you put the right bacteria in there, the thing's going to go. A brush fire, and there's no stopping it. So the protection mechanisms for perpetuating the people as ethnic people and native people do not exist within the Land Claims Settlement Act as we know it today. And I guess that's what I wanted to share with you today.
Well, that's I think we all agree, a most thoughtful analysis, and I'm very grateful to you for it. I almost hesitate to ask if, having laid it all out so well, if you have anything, any further thoughts about what happens now, what ought to happen.
I'm very excited about 1985. I think Native people today, I think one of the greatest attributes of the Act is that we can stand up as Native people today and deal with Native problems as Natives. And that was not true on Kodiak Island 15 years ago. In many cases of the state, it has been the rebirth of the people. I have faith in the people. I think that we will deal with the problems. And because of the renewed vigor and the renewed identity and the pride that we have today that we did not have 15 years ago, I think that we will overcome the problems. I think that the Berger Commission, if you please, is an excellent example of the system working and working well to examine those values that we hold dear and perpetuate them.
Well, thanks very much. No, that really... I think you summed up 15 years of recent history very, very well, if I may say so, and I'm grateful to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Leah Atakitluk, and this is a speech I did in Togak for the Bridger Commission. Creation of ANCSA, in my point of view, created some problems with the natives. Without the consultation of the public, a plan by ANCSA was made which would have great impact on the native life. In addition, rural residents didn't know anything about the happenings or the plans that were established. From the development of ANCSA, the natives gave up two important rights, which were hunting and fishing rights and being a native. Hunting and traveling with the herd, our ancestors used to hunt without being told that they shouldn't hunt here or there like they do now with us. Natives born after 1971 do not share benefits according to the plan. In fact, it may create bad feelings between those born before 1971 and those born after. They aren't available for native status as far as the corporation is concerned. Problems with the 44 million acres are that it was given to the 12 regional and village corporations, not being in the traditional native control. Since the corporation owns a subsurface estate, it is a gamble the corporations are taking on the land. It may be lost in a bad investment our corporation may take. As one of the speakers pointed out in the AFN Youth Conference, if we lose our land, our birthright is lost. Our ancestors occupied the land and used it before the act was passed. The land should be ours for the future, just as it was for our ancestors. The $965.2 million was just given to the corporations for the lands lost. When the money was given to the natives, they had little or no business training. It seemed like a lot of money back then. Now it seems like nothing compared to what the state got. It received $900 million from just leasing the land in the North Slope. Plus, the state got billions of dollars in royalty monies that came from this land. As far as the 12 regional corporations are concerned, there is no guarantee that the corporations will remain in the hands of the natives. Natives don't have control over the land as they did in the past. Now the land is in the hands of the corporations. In the past, our ancestors, our leaders, were the elders who had knowledge on life from their wisdom and their long life. Now young people as corporate leaders are dictating to the elders, but they don't have the knowledge and wisdom of the elders. Although young leaders have the knowledge of the white man's way, are they going to keep our tradition and cultures alive? I think not. Subsistence, our tradition, is very significant to our lifestyle. Our people have been taught from generation to generation to respect the land for the future generations. Knowing its essentials, the ways have been taught from father to son. Now the anti-hunting groups are trying to stop what we as natives have had for so many generations. In fact, they are saying that killing animals is inhumane. Here, the other people are killing cows, pigs, and other animals for food. We don't go to where they live and criticize what they shouldn't do or what they should do for a living. If more people were familiar with the way we actually live, they would realize the importance of subsistence and realize that it isn't an easy way of life. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Thank you very much. Well, anyone else would like to say something, feel free to step up here.
Good evening.
Well, we have a mic that we can take around to where you're seated, but I understand you had a heavy day and that some of you would rather wait until tomorrow to put your thoughts together, so maybe that's just as well. But I am grateful to the students who spoke this afternoon and, of course, to Mr. Nelson and Mr. Eaton as well, and the folks who spoke earlier this afternoon, and we had a number of presentations yesterday as well. This is not a bad time to wind it up, but if there is anybody else who'd like to say something, all that paper being passed around may signify something, I don't know. Well, this is all very helpful to me, and as you know, it is my hope in the end to be helpful to you by writing a report based on what you have told me at these meetings. That's why I'm here, and the kinds of presentations that have been made yesterday and today are help me to understand how you feel about these issues. Well, if there's nobody else, I think that it wouldn't be a bad time to adjourn and to remind you that we will be holding a hearing again tomorrow night at the Seniors Center, I believe, at what time is that, 7:30?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock tomorrow at the Seniors Center, so the students who would like to speak then, please come along and feel free, and even if you don't want to come up to the front, we'll have a microphone that we can take to your seat so that you can just talk from your seat, from your chair. So I hope you will be ready to go then, and we'll all look forward to that. So I think we'll stop now for till tomorrow.
Sure.
testimony thing? Bruce, what was Leah's last name, Tokia?
Atakatlik.
Huh?
Atakatlik. A-T-A-K-A.
It wasn't that. Yeah, okay.
I've got it written down here, and I know it's spelled right. Atakatlik, yeah. A-T-A-K-A-T-L-I-G.
Oh, that's all right. And the one that I had, the one that was the keynotes, that was Melvin. Melvin. M-E-L-M-E-L-K-A-S. A-Y-U-L-I-E. And Thomas Ackerbrock. He's really from Ecuador, but he's going to school at A-K-E-L-F-E-L. So he shares this. Yeah, Luke before.
Oh.
Yeah, that's like Willie Josiah, Acuity, Hospital, S-U-Y-K-A-S-A-Y.